Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, welcome inside the final hour of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Now, we got a real hot take coming your way from the NFL, but first, a little bit on Jared Goff. We spent a lot of time talking about Brady tonight, having the bad game he did, and clearly the Rams, look, I told you, they're the best all-around team in the NFC, and if they were in the Super Bowl this year, I would not be surprised. They are every week they're getting better, and they are solid everywhere. Tonight was a night where they showed we can win any kind of game. We don't need to run the ball 35 times a game to win, even though that's what we'd like to do. We got a bunch of Jags running the football, whether it's Brown or Akers or Henderson. Doesn't matter. We still run the football 35, 40 times a game. We have a really good offensive line. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to ask Jared Goff to do a little bit less because he's not that kind of guy that can win a shootout every single week. But once in a while, your quarterback has to be able to do that. And this is where I like the Rams even more than I like the 49ers last year, because Jimmy Garoppolo could do that once in a while, but Jared Goff clearly can have those nights where, boy, he looks terrific. And tonight, he throws for 376 and three touchdowns. They needed to score on his arm tonight, and he was able to do it. The Buccaneers said, you're not going to run the football on us, and the Rams had 20 attempts for 37 yards. You could tell right away that they couldn't run the football at all. It was going to have to be Goff through the air. And they have enough weapons, and Goff can do it once in a while. You can rely on Jared Goff. As long as it's not every week saying, hey, get us out of trouble, then you can live that way. And Goff had a good night tonight. He did throw a couple of picks, and the second one was really bad. And it tells you this is why you can't rely on him as your gunslinger number one overall pick. But the guy threw for 375 tonight, and all I'm seeing in my timeline, Jared Goff, is, oh, Goff almost cost us the game. It was terrible. Yeah, he did throw a bad pick. He had a really bad series of downs there where he fumbled the first snap, and then he got called for delay a game, and then he threw an interception. It was a bad three-play sequence for Jared Goff, but still, they would not have been in the game tonight without him. Once in a while, it can work, and if the Rams stick with this philosophy, and most of the time we run, but hey, every 2-3 weeks, Goff can go for 350 and win, that's fine. He's thrown for over 300 yards each of the past three games. Okay, so you clearly know the guy can do it, but he doesn't have to do it every week, and that's why the Rams are as good as they are.
This is the best rush defense in football that they played tonight. So expecting any greatness from Akers, Henderson, anybody on the ground, that wasn't going to happen. It just wasn't. And I think the Rams ran enough to move some clock, try to shorten the game a little bit, and they were working the ball downfield. For Jared Goff, it was a good performance, throwing into space, throwing Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods open. You saw opportunity after opportunity for a lot of yak. There it is again, if you're playing a drinking game at home, down another one. But you're looking at a guy who's found his stride. 5 of his last 8 games. We're looking at 300-plus, multiple touchdowns in all but 3 games this season. Sure, is he going to throw you into some odd positions at time? Absolutely. That's most quarterbacks do. Right? A missed read or perhaps a little bit too much zip on the ball, which is sometimes his detriment of things, right? Of the, hey, ball off the receiver's hands and you get hit by the ricochet. In this case, he played mostly a clean game and put them in a position to win. And that defense was more than capable of sealing the deal. And that's what you got tonight. You take the W, back-to-back wins against Seattle and Tampa Bay. I think you'll take the spike and move forward to a game against the Niners. Good job, Jared Goff.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Again, this is what the Rams have become. They realize this is how we have to adapt our team, and they've done it great. We'll have more on this game coming up. But you'll hear from Tom Brady, who just talked a few minutes ago about his really unfortunate pass that ended the game. But One of the big stories out of the NFL this weekend, this just gets so much more interesting to me like every single day, is take a look right now at where things sit in the NFC East, where the Eagles are still in first place, 3-6-1, and then you have the Giants, Cowboys, and Washington all at 3-7. Right, so they're all a half game out of first place. As bad as it was for these teams at different points this year, the Giants were in the running for the number one overall pick until 2 weeks ago. The Cowboys were done, dead and buried. They were thinking maybe Trevor Lawrence until a couple weeks ago. And now look where they all are. They're all within a half game of first place. Now, first I'll give you the hot take. Cowboys are going to win the NFC East. All right, Cowboys are going to win. They had a big game yesterday, and we'll get to why, one of the reasons behind it in a couple minutes. But they had a great game yesterday. They have the best weapons in the NFC East. They have the playmakers they need. If Andy Dalton is healthy, they've gotten through that rough patch, and they're the best team. And they should wind up winning. Not because they're good. The Cowboys stink. They're terrible. But so is Washington. So are the Giants. And so are the Eagles. They're finding a way to give this away. Cowboys are going to win this because they have the most favorable schedule down the stretch, right? But by far and away in the NFC East, they have the best schedule. Because to win this division, you got to go 3-3 down the stretch. None of these teams are going 4-2 because the schedule is too difficult, because the teams are better and these four teams all stink. So you're talking about trying to go 3-3. Only the Cowboys have that chance because they go Washington, Baltimore, Cincinnati, no Joe Burrow, San Francisco, Philadelphia, and the Giants. That's the easiest schedule. And even there, you could say, all right, maybe that's three wins. Maybe that's three wins for the Cowboys. But that's it. Everybody else's schedule is too tough. Washington still has to play Pittsburgh. They got Seattle. They got Carolina. They're not winning any of those games. All right, the Giants still have Seattle, Arizona, Cleveland, and Baltimore. They're not winning three games. And you look at Philadelphia. They have Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, and Arizona. They're not winning three games. The Cowboys have the schedule, and they're going to be able to win three of these last six games, and at 6-10, they're going to wind up winning the NFC East. We are going to have a six-win team win a division. We said this 2 months ago, Mike, oh, look how bad this division is. Somebody could go 6-10 and win. Now it's, oh, man. Somebody's going to go 6-10. Forget about 7-9. Now it looks like, oh, wow, 7-9. You look dominant right there. No, this is going to be 6-10 is going to win the NFC East. Legitimately, 6-10 is going to win the NFC East.
And I dig it. I'm all for it, especially if you've got weapons like Dallas has on the outsides. All you need is an opportunity, and Jerry Jones has a chance at greatness, has a chance at glory. Look, because Philadelphia is fundamentally flawed at every spot, right? We like Miles Sanders, but he's a one-man gang. There's nothing in that receiving game that gets you excited. Yeah, Rager might be a player down the line. Zach Ertz is banged up all the time. Dallas Goedert is good, but you don't have much hope of even getting them the football behind that offensive line. And right now, Carson Wentz is a man without confidence. He's a guy who's lacking. He's got that same shame cycle that Tom Brady has going on right now. You got to listen to the whole show. But you have that flowing, and you also you look at Washington. Alex Smith has McLaurin. You've got the dual running back, Gibson and McKissick. They're fun, and that defensive front is good, but can they score enough points? I don't think so. And then finally, when we look at the New York Football Giants, a strong defense. But again, you can't score a lot of points. So are you going to be able to grind out wins? I don't think so. You need to be able to score points in this league to win consistently. And that's where Dallas comes in. If Andy Dalton can stay healthy, this becomes an interesting kind of flow. And I liked what they did coming out of their bye week, getting creative and getting Ezekiel Elliott out on the outside, right? He catches a pass, finds the end zone, and what do you know? They start finding a little success up the gut. Remember, Minnesota was starting to surge. Wish you probably hadn't traded Yannick Ngakoue away now, did you? maybe a little bit of a pass rush, maybe a little bit of an ability to run the line of scrimmage. But instead, Ezekiel Elliott has a season high 103 runs. rushing yards, and you get some balance in that offense. CeeDee Lamb making some crazy plays to rival all those things of Adam Thielen. By the way, hopefully Adam Thielen is healthy and gets out there. And we know that the positive COVID test and all the jokes about, well, everything that Adam Thielen can catch. That was the punchline for I saw way too many times on Twitter. Frostburg might have been first, but then it became ubiquitous, so nobody gets to claim their $7 off that one. But we saw a big win. We saw them score points. And if that lineup can gel a little bit, yeah, they're dangerous to win six games.
I mean, really, it's going to be amazing. But six wins, that's a legit thing. This is not just, oh, man, how awesome would that be? No, that's a legit thing. You're trying to have teams win three more, and some of those, there's no way they're going to. It's going to be great. But what made this possible, and maybe might have made this possible for the Dallas Cowboys, all as bad as it was, the Cowboys are the favorites. One of the things the Cowboys players pointed to as what gave them some inspiration, loosened them up a bit for their win over the Vikings yesterday, was that at the team meeting on Saturday night, Mike McCarthy wanted to hammer home some points about what the team needed to do, what he wanted to see them do on Sunday. So he borrowed the act of former, well, still comedian, he's still a comedian, but I mean, I don't know if he does anything anymore, from the comedian Gallagher, who got famous in the late 80s and most of the 90s by smashing watermelons in different pieces of fruit during his comedy act. I mean, he wasn't ever very funny, but the guy's smashing watermelons and that becomes his thing. So Mike McCarthy brought a sledgehammer and some watermelons into the meeting, and he would talk about what he wanted the team to do, and he would use a sledgehammer and he would just bust up watermelons. Players came in and they grabbed the sledgehammer and did it themselves and talked about what they wanted to do, and it became like a 1993 Comedy Central special. I guess some of the Cowboys players are wearing ponchos all around because everybody would wear ponchos at Gallagher concerts. They didn't want to get hit with all the fruit. So this is what was passed for inspiration for the Cowboys smashing watermelons in front of the players.
In the early 90s, Gallagher's younger brother Ron asked him for permission to perform shows using Gallagher's trademark sledge-o-matic routine. Just in the promotional materials, you had to remind folks that it was Ron and not Leo. So you had two Gallaghers going around the country, and since all they were doing was smashing watermelons, did it really matter which idiot had the sledgehammer? No, it didn't. And I use the term idiot with all due respect because, well, they got paid. I mean, they got paid for doing this. He was on The Tonight Show early on when, well, Johnny Carson didn't want him on, so when Carson took some time off, the subs would have him on because the staff liked him. Reading up on Gallagher after reading about this bit, Mike McCarthy, I really want to know what the hell he was doing during his year off now. This becomes far more fascinating to me. It's like, how did you end up with that one in the repertoire? I mean, where did you see a Gallagher bit that made you pull that one out of the archives? That's all. That's all the curiosity that I have about this one. But it worked. If for one day. I can't wait to see. Do they go Carrot Top next?
Suddenly, Mike McCarthy comes in and goes, "Hickory dickory dock. There's 2 minutes left on the clock. Hey, Dalton, throw the ball, or we'll win it all, or I'll cut you so fast you'll fall." Oh, hey, yo, hey, yo. And he's smoking a cigarette the weird way.
And it's 90s comedians. In front of a fair lane, just like the movie all those years ago.
McCarthy just starts walking around like he wears a leather jacket. Pompadour hair.
Got the big mutton chops going. Pompadour.
We
okay
actually
over
have
there, buddy?
No, I'm just doing the Dice Man, how he okay would do his thing.
Oh, it just sounded like you were, maybe having convulsions.
That's what he would do. Hey, T-shirt, we actually have audio of McCarthy smashing watermelons.
Yes, I do, Jason.
We do. Okay, well, that's a good job by you, first of all. I want to say that's a fantastic
Well, I have people in high places, Jay.
All right, very good. I have people I know that worked at Cinemax in 1996.
Cinemax. Right, so,
well, yes, back then it was Cinemax. Yes, it was. Not anymore, though. Cinemax has gone away from that now. Cinemax is legit now. They Cinemax has, art house movies now. You know, they run things like The King's Speech and Jumanji. So, I mean, Cinemax, they're legit. Okay. All right. So let's hear.
I was waiting for the sound to hit, but
I thought Taisha was going to play something. I thought I'd.
No. That was a lot of illustrious movies. I couldn't touch that.
Okay. All right.
Just left you dangling out there.
Can we hear a little bit of Mike McCarthy? Let's hear it.
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've gone too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to just keep our composure.
Well, that was that certainly got their attention.
That watermelon didn't stand a chance.
No. I'm just smashing things around. But now we actually have the smashing of the ceremonial smashing of the watermelons, right?
Let's do it.
All right, go ahead.
We're going to start with the watermelon.
Good night, everybody. This fulfills my obligation like Doug Peterson on that radio show last week. I answered the phone. I'm done. I smashed one damn watermelon for you people. I got your money. Get out.
There it is. But up next,
you got
on
your commemorative Gallagher bibs and ponchos.
Up next on HBO, Dennis Miller's talk show. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week. That is
just outstanding. I should say it's coming out at 9:58.
Yeah.
Well, it's a 90-second act.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike Gets Swollen Dome, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. We are live from the Geico Studios. Coming up, you'll hear from Tom Brady. And you talk about hot takes. We got another one coming up your way, because if Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback drafted the last 4 years, I got a sneaking suspicion I know who the second best quarterback's going to be. And it was really on display on Sunday. That's coming up next. Keep it right here. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios.
I'm an ass man.
You know, it's funny, Mike. We talked about the Cowboys situation a few minutes ago. Mike McCarthy smashing watermelons like Gallagher to get the team pumped up on Saturday. And it got me thinking about, you know, we talked about all these great 80s and 90s comedians. And, like, all through my timeline, people on Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, going through all these great comedians of the 90s, people that you just would see on MTV or VH1 or Comedy Central that you just don't see anymore, that you're like, oh, my goodness, I remember them. Oh, my goodness, I remember them. Like Brian Regan or Mario Joyner. You know, Kathleen Madigan. I mean, it was just all these people like, oh, my God, I remember these people from, like, these big stand-ups they would do, like, in the 90s. And it's like, now I want to go, after the show is over, I'm going to look and go best comedians of the 90s and see what comes up.
Oh, I think that'll be a good, good cathartic exercise for you as you get deep into prop comics. Some insult comics.
Prop comics.
Look, as soon as Carrot Top got fat with a big contract, everybody wanted in on that. I got a trunk of crap, too. Let's go.
I actually went to go see a prop comic once, and it was – he used a I don't know what's one of those. It's like a portable tray where it it's just one of those things where it just opens a little bit and you can put, like, plates on it or something that stands up. And that's what he used as for his entire act. And I'm going, oh, my God, this guy's going
like
to use this.
Like a little TV tray kind of
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, that's what he used, except it was metal. So but that's kind of what it was. And it would just open and close. And that was his prop for the entire show. I'm like, wow. He's going to do this for his entire 20 minutes. Okay. And he used it he would use it as, like, pretend to be a window. He pretended it was a television set. It was all these different things in 20 minutes.
How did that make you feel at the end of it? Did you feel smarter, dumber? Did you laugh? Did you give up on it after about 3 minutes?
No, I know. Actually, you know what? Is a night when I went to go see, who was the headliner? Joe Rogan was the headliner. This is back in the night before Joe Rogan's became the big star he is now with everything going on. And I remember seeing Joe Rogan was the headliner. And the thing is, Los Angeles is not too far from Orange County. And when you see like 10 comedians in a night, people want to go home. And so like he was coming out like near the end and when they changed over from comedians and he comes out to do his thing and like people are leaving from their table to get up and go because it's like, okay, it's 11 o'clock. I just saw 8 comedians ready to go home. And he yelled out, he goes, hey, where are you guys going? Have a nice drive back to Orange County, all you soccer moms.
So you went, you were hanging out in Hermosa Beach at the Comedy and Magic Club, huh?
Oh, he was just screaming, have a ride, a good ride back home. And nobody wanted to get up and leave because you knew you're going to be part of the act. Like if when people were, when they were done going, hey, there's our comedian, you know, Johnny Sanchez, whoever it was. Oh, great. Everybody clap. He would walk off. They go, now entering the stage, people would get up and run for the exits because they didn't, because they knew as soon as the comedian came on, if he saw people leaving, he was going to yell at them. And Joe Rogan just got everybody getting up, walking away. Have a nice drive back to Orange County. It was so mad.
I remember having to be moved at a comedy club because everybody kept trying to use me in their act.
Oh, I
and
thought
I was
like
funnier than they were.
Wow. Well, you are pretty funny.
Well,
I gotta say.
So it became one line smartass things back, and I was getting a bigger laugh, so they were getting mad. It's like to tell your people backstage to leave the guy in the purple shirt alone.
Coming to the stage now, it's Mike Harmon. You know, people call me Mark. You know what I say when you do that? Blank you. Ah! All right. So
that was a pretty good one liner.
You like that?
I like that. Yeah, no,
I was thinking about that.
That was
that
some of your finest work, buddy.
I'm trying to help you. Hey, let's hear from Tom Brady a little bit. A bad game for Brady tonight, and we've talked about him a lot and how this is just who Brady is. Some weeks he's going to be good, some weeks he's not. He's Joe Montana at the end, not Peyton Manning with Denver. He's just trying to hold on, and week to week, it could be a great week, it could be a bad week, but a couple of bad turnovers for the Buccaneers did them in. Brady's interception at the end, I don't know what he was thinking, but let's find out.
Yeah, it's just a bad read, and Cam was running up the seam, and just at the last second, I saw the safety coming over and just, popped it over Cam's head. So just a bad read, bad throw, decision, everything. Can't happen.
All right, we'll go to Jenaline.
Hey, Tom, I know how much you put into this, and I also know that the deep passes were a big point of emphasis for you going into this week. What types of things were the Rams doing that were making some of those connections more difficult for you downfield?
They did a good job preventing them. You know, they kind of play a defense that, makes it tough to hit them. They're not impossible to hit, but they're tight. And the guys did a good job running them. We had a couple shots, but in the end didn't come up with any.
All right, we're going to go to Eric Hoffman.
Tom, you've come up with so many game-winning drives in the fourth quarter and overtime, Tom. So on a night like this, how disappointed are you in yourself?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's a good word, disappointed, and I have to do a better job. Absolutely.
I just want to ask you about the deep ball. It seems like going back maybe since the Raiders game, you guys have been able to get some DPI calls, absolutely, but just haven't connected on the deep balls the way you did in the first four or five games of the season. Is there something you'd point to for why that hasn't clicked as it did early on?
I will study it. Again, we've had some chances, definitely, and receivers are doing a great job, and I got to get them the ball, so got to figure out how to do that.
Look, and that's the thing. When quarterbacks get old and you hear, oh, they're not the quarterback they used to be, you know, what are a couple of things that happens? They can't throw deep like they used to, and they can't throw into tight windows like they used to because they don't have the arm that they did earlier in their career. And that's a couple of things you're seeing with Brady. Tonight he had trouble throwing in tight windows, and clearly part of the deep ball is not big time in the Buccaneers' philosophy now on offense, because Brady has trouble throwing the ball deep and with some kind of accuracy. And you would think that wouldn't be, because when you have Antonio Brown and Evans and Godwin, you should be able to open up the field a little bit more. But instead, despite the fact that they threw the ball, he threw the ball tonight 48 times, he threw for 216 yards. You know, I mean, you're not going to win many games when you throw the ball nearly 50 times and you barely crack 200 yards.
Yeah, your yards per pass play, not exactly what's standing out. Look, one of the great stats to pull out and analyze a football game. In the end, it's all about points. Don't let everybody make it about yards, but we can read something into the effectiveness of the downfield passing game. And to your point with Brady, yeah, they don't have the deep ball in the arsenal. What you do have is a number of athletic receivers that doesn't mean they can't win from 5 to 15 yards down the field. Forget about it. The deep balls are going to be there once in a blue moon. This is a good Rams defense, disciplined, and didn't need to send extra extra help to rattle Brady a little bit and move him off the spot. Other teams, you'll be able to get away with that. But here, you've just got to be better about finding that secondary, tertiary option, because they're going to have man coverage and have an opportunity to make a play. Just don't try to press it downfield. You don't have the arm strength to do it consistently.
I mean, tonight, Brady was 4.5 yards per attempt. I mean, that's what Brady, 4.5 yards per attempt. I mean, that's abysmal. I mean,
by the way, disappointed, Tom? How disappointed are you in yourself? How great a question is that?
Can you tell us how bad you were tonight? Can you tell us how much you let yourself down and your family and everybody who supported you? Can you tell us how bad you feel about that, Tom?
Do you think this is going to be really bad for the sales of TB12 products for the next 24 to 48 hours, even with your holiday specials that you brought up?
Do you think people will burn your jersey like they do LeBron's when they get really mad at him? Do you think that's going to happen, Tom? Will that happen to you?
Would you pass better if you were in the creamsicles?
Would you pass better if you were in New England? I'll hang up and take it off the air.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Now, one other thing off the NFL this week. If Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, and he is, and it's not close, and we're in the Mahomes era where everybody's going to be compared to him for the next 10 to 12 years, who's going to be the second best quarterback to come in the league since Mahomes was drafted? Okay, Mahomes came in the league in 2017. So if that's where the best quarterback came from, we've had a lot of quarterbacks drafted in the past 4 years, right? Darnold and Mayfield and Allen and Trubisky and Burrow and Tua and Kyler Murray and Daniel Jones.
I was on board the Joe Burrow bandwagon until yesterday.
Yeah, I know. That was too bad. Well, hopefully he can. You know, he's young, and when you're 23 – you bounce back a lot faster, especially when you haven't had a long career of getting hit as much as guys do in the NFL. Because, look, it's not like Burrow got hit a lot in the preseason or didn't have games or anything else. So I'm hopeful that the combination of his youth and the fact he hasn't gotten hit a lot, and maybe he can get back for the beginning of the season, which would be awesome. But, you know, obviously, you know, best thoughts to him because he was having a phenomenal year. But if you asked me, since Mahomes, now this is the new era of quarterback coming to the league now since 2017. Who's going to have the next best career? If I had to put money on it, I would say Justin Herbert.
Look at you.
And look, I admit when I was wrong on somebody, and I was wrong on Herbert. He was polarizing in the draft. I saw him play games at Oregon. I say to myself, this guy's going to go in the first round? He had some absolute stinkers. He was awful. But early in the season when he took over, he came in and showed, I got this right away. And without any practice, without any big reps, without any preseason, because Tyrod Taylor had all the reps, he was the number one quarterback, he comes out right away. And he shows that, you know what, I can be accurate, I can throw the ball in tight windows, and I can move the team dynamically. We're not going to have to go down the field 5 and 10 yards at a time. The touchdown pass he threw yesterday to Keenan Allen, when he's rolling away to his weak side, and he just stops and slings in that pass when the Jets DB is a foot away, I mean, you throw your arms up and go, what do you expect me to do there?
Right.
I mean, that's just some kind of throw. But especially after yesterday, seeing him, you know, the whole game, if that's where he was the beginning of the year, I can move the team dynamically. I can throw in tight windows. I'm accurate. This kid has zero panic in him. Every single play, there's no running around the pocket. There's no, I'm frantically looking. There's no, I'm throwing the ball up for grabs. It is methodical where here's the play. Here's where I'm going to move in the pocket. Here's where I'm going to go. Here's where I'm going to make my throw. And every single play, that's what it was. There was no rush. He was going to get the ball off. It's like the game is already slowed down for him, and he's in the middle of his rookie season. And boy, can he see the ball well downfield. Not many quarterbacks, it helps when you're 6'9", like he is, but not every quarterback can see the ball and see the downfield like Herbert can. And man, when he lets it go, you know, he's got a guy, this is going to be open, I'm going to throw you open. There's as good as Keenan Allen was yesterday, and you know, the guy had 35 catches.
Yeah.
There were plays where he threw guys open where there was not a lot of daylight, and I throw it deep and I'm throwing you open. He's amazing. I mean, watching him play is incredible. And the main reason why I can say Herbert over everybody else, because there's other quarterbacks there. People are going, Jason, what, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen? Are you kidding? What do the Chargers do? What have they done for 40 years? They've thrown the football, and they throw it great, and they've always thrown it well, whether it's Dan Fouts or Stan Humphries or Craig Wheelahan or
wow, you got Wheelahan in now. Yeah.
I got Craig Wheelahan in, right? That was nice. You like that, right? Or whether it's Philip Rivers, whoever else, they have always thrown the football, and they've always loaded up their team with stars that get out, that outside stars, running backs, tight ends. They've always had enough weapons to allow the quarterback to succeed. And that's where you look at a player like Kyler Murray and you go, okay, they got him DeAndre Hopkins, but it's the Cardinals. Are they really going to do enough? And with the Bills, it's, okay, it's the Bills. Are they really going to get enough dynamic weapons, or this is the offense? It's Josh Allen throwing when he has to, and he can run. The numbers and the stuff that he's going to be able to put up, Justin Herbert, because of the team he plays on and because of their identity, if I had to say who's going to have the second best career behind Mahomes, it's going to be Justin Herbert.
I like your enthusiasm there. Dan, I just wanted to punctuate. Look, Joe Burrow was a pincushion behind that Swiss cheese offensive line for the Bengals this year. So he did get bludgeoned this year. Just doesn't have the career pinball stats just yet. But this year was a very, very rough thing. Just wanted to give the point of clarification because I know you were talking longer picture and not a guy who is in like his eighth year of being beaten up. So, but either way, 23 years old, hopefully to see him bounce back. And in the meantime, something to address, making sure, A, you've got a system that gets the ball out fast. B, you've got five guys up front to protect. With Justin Herbert, this is one where you and I differed a bit. Come draft time, as we were doing the evaluations and starting to go back and look at the percentages and look at the ball coming out. And obviously, coming out of Oregon, you know, it's one of those schools where part of it is, well, how much is that you just have better wide receiver athletes than some of the other squads of the Pac-12, and you maybe put an asterisk on some of the throws, and that's fine. Here you've got Keenan Allen, and I know Frostburg is just texting me stats for days. It is just ridiculous, the man crush that he continues to possess there. But now you start looking at Guyton. You look at Mike Williams and his ability to get open. You know, there's a guy that was not going to be utilized particularly well in a Tyrod Taylor offense. Let's just call it what it is, right? You're running a completely different attack than you would have been had you gone and the unfortunate Tyrod Taylor injury and punctured lung not occurred, right? It would have been a lot more run the football. And now I see Austin Eckler is posting his workout videos again. So his return is imminent, and maybe you get a little bit of the extra in the balance, but Kalen Ballage, a nice find for them as well. Given balance there defensively, they'll get healthy. You got a lot of guys coming back. It's the old equivalent of, hey, they're like draft picks coming back, or you know, for the new year. So if they can stay healthy, and that's the big if with the Chargers, right? Trying to get that all 22 out there, and you know, as you projected on your little metallic magnet board. All right, there's the name. He's in at strong safety. Nope. Chip that one off, you know, like your Billy Bob Thornton. You haven't been able to do it. I think we'll have more of that going forward for Herbert's career. And he's set up, especially in that division where there's a lot of points being scored. It's going to be fun to watch.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, we got the play of the night and a story that we all need to kick off this big Thanksgiving week. Keep it right here. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Where we got the play of the night coming your way in a couple of minutes, but the story we need right now to kick off this Thanksgiving week, no matter how often you're working, if you're getting together with people, do it smartly, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful, wear a mask, do smart, be smart, be smart. The story we need to kick things off is who was in the streets of Hawaii today giving away Thanksgiving turkeys. Just got turkeys in his hand. He's giving away to people.
I'm very, very excited about
it. It was not Tim Tebow.
I'm so excited.
It was not. Here, I'll give you this turkey if you can tell me what my batting average was at AA last year.
32.
You don't get it. Marshawn Lynch giving away turkeys in Hawaii because, of course, why wouldn't Marshawn Lynch be giving away turkeys in Hawaii?
Yeah.
The legend. You want to talk about a guy who all you see is positivity all the backpacks full of supplies, everything he's done, giving out masks in the parks up in the Bay Area, and now he's walking the streets handing out turkeys, literally carrying them by the mesh handles that you get when you get them at the grocery store. And you see the looks of the people in the cars from the video clip that I saw just going, looking at it going, I think that's, nah, can't be, can it? Because, look, if someone's walking around wanting to give you a full 10 to 12-pound bird, I mean, it might be a bit odd. But I celebrate Marshawn Lynch and everything he does, if you can and if you're able this holiday season. Also, you know, just remember to do a little bit of good. They got all the different outreach things, even when you're checking out at the grocery store, at the buck or two if you can. Help make a difference. We appreciate you.
You know, that's great advice. And I also was thinking, you know how much I used to hate, because I used to have to carry the turkey if my grandmother got it. And it was like, I felt like it's going to just cut my fingers off.
Well, how big did you guys go with that?
We had a big family. My grandmother had five kids. So it was her kids, husbands, and their children. So we'd have to get like a 150-pound turkey. And so we'd get the turkey and she would say, you'll carry it in. I'm like, sure. And I'm carrying it. And it's that yellow nylon. And I'm like, it's just going to cut right through my fingers and my fingers are going to fall off. I can't carry this anymore because I couldn't carry it, you know, in my hands. It was too big. So I just had to carry it. At one point, I dragged it across the grass and I brought it in. My grandmother said, oh, how did this green stain get on it? And I go, I said, you know what? It rubbed up against the green comet thing on there. Yeah, it's fine. Look, I wiped it off. Oh, okay. I didn't want to tell her. I dragged it across the grass because I thought my fingers were going to come off.
My panda hands couldn't deal with it. The netting was cutting into my fingers.
That was the worst netting ever. And that's something that I guarantee you, all that netting is still in the world somewhere, like at the bottom of an ocean. Like, there's no way that was ever biodegradable at all. There's no way.
That's too bad.
Time now for, but good on Marshawn Lynch for.
Yeah,
doing
no,
what he's
absolutely.
Doing.
All bits of positivity you can find this year, this day, find your wins. If you like that Tom Brady sulked off the field, raise a glass, celebrate like Smith.
Time now for the play of the night, brought to you by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Well, sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. Geico.com, easy. Well, when the game is in the balance and you get a big INT because Tom Brady throws it right to you to win the game, well, you get to be the play of the night.
Brady back to throw. He spins it down the right side and intercepted. Intercepted by Fuller at the 30. His second of the game, he takes a knee, and that should do it for Monday Night Football. The rookie with two picks in Tampa Bay.
Rams Radio Network on the call. Look, we spent a lot of time talking about Brady, but the Rams are the most complete team in the NFC right now. They are the most complete team because the Seahawks, their defense is terrible. The Packers aren't as good. The Saints maybe, and you know, but there's a lot of unknown with Taysom Hill and where that's going to go. Their defense is getting better, but they're not nearly what the Rams are. And I mean, if the Rams made the Super Bowl this year, I would not be surprised because they have gotten better every single week, and they have that kind of look in them that they can just dominate teams here on out.
Can the Seahawks defense rise like the Undertaker one more time before resting in peace?
You really watched too much of that this weekend. I think you watched too much of that.
I celebrated every moment of it, all the legends together. Come on, there was a big, I can't even give the spoiler alert in case folks haven't watched it yet. It was glorious.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Hey, our Best of podcast goes up on iTunes in a few minutes. Download it, subscribe. We'll love you forever. My buddy Ben Maller coming up next. This is Fox.